We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. willpledge.org. Now here's your program.
Good morning. Welcome to Focus 580. This is our morning talk program. My name is David Inge. Glad to have you with us. And we're also very happy to have back here on the program once again the guy that we like to call our chef in residence. Now, I'd like to point something out here right at the beginning. This is a purely honorary title, but he's brought his honorary self here now for for a long time on the first Wednesday in the 10 o'clock hour, and we always have a good time when he's here. I know he'll be the first to tell you that, no, Dave's not a morning guy. He's generally not in a great mood, but, you know, I somehow always feel better seeing you, so I'm glad that you're here.
I'm glad I'm here, too. I was in Wyoming yesterday at this time.
So what was the weather doing out in Wyoming?
The weather was beautiful, absolutely beautiful. I had a magnificent trip in the West. I was in Denver and Steamboat Springs and Cheyenne, Wyoming. No inclement weather at all. I had a very good time, except my arthritis kept me from wandering around. And it's hard to get up off a horse when you can't hardly walk, but I gave it a try nevertheless.
It's tough being an old cowboy.
It is. Listen, it's tough being a cowboy. It's tough being old.
All right. Well, this time around, Doyle suggested maybe we could have as our focus holiday baking, and we've done that, I'm sure, at this time of year.
We do it every time, but I get very sentimental about holiday baking at this time. Sometimes I've tried to avoid repeating projects that we've done, but I like it. And besides that, I did a little bit of research, and I have a couple of extraordinarily good recipes to fit into this. I got one in New Mexico while I was in Wyoming, and another one from a Tennessee source. So I've got my receipts here.
Well, let me say that for people who are listening, if you'd like to call in, say hi, contribute a recipe, particularly if it's something, a holiday baked item, and that's kind of the theme.
We sort
of said, you know, there are certain things that are really associated with the holidays that they may be something that you – maybe something that you only make once a year. So that's an important part of your holiday tradition that you have that around now, and you wouldn't mind sharing the recipe. You can give us a call. 333-9455. That's the number here in Champaign-Urbana. Toll free, 800-222-9455. I hope we'll hear from some folks, because if we don't, I may well indeed be forced once again to speak in defense of the fruitcake. I'm just warning you about that. Because, I think fruitcake is okay, and I have a good recipe that I like.
I do, too.
we've talked about that before. So was there something in particular that was really – you were thinking to yourself, you know, this is now the time and I really want to – some taste or some –
yeah.
You know, something that you really want?
Well, that was kind of it. I mean, I also regretted that I had sort of slighted cookies and cakes for a year maybe or so. But what I came up with on my trip, I was out looking for recipes anyway – was a magnificent cookie from New Mexico. It's called Bizcochitos, and I like it very much. And also one of the reasons that I was in the West is my family is in the West, and my niece is a county extension agent in Kansas, and a very, very good one. And so I said, well, I'll come out if I can do some research. So we managed to do a little bit of research, and I came up with this recipe of a New Mexico bizcochitos. And then I was poking around, and I came up with a Tennessee whiskey cake. And those two I've not discussed before at any time. I did not bring the world's best white fruit cake recipe today. We have it somewhere here in the building.
I think probably that should be one of them. I'm afraid, again, we've kind of fallen behind in getting some of our recipes online, but I would think that that one certainly should be
in our
online archive.
I think it is.
Together with the fruit cake that has sausage in it.
The Kentucky sausage cake. Yeah, that's a wonderful cake. I enjoy that very much. So let me give you this recipe for the bizcochitos. Some people like to use lard, but and not vegetable shortening in this particular recipe. Well, that's New Mexico cooking for you. 3 cups of all-purpose flour, 1 teaspoon of baking powder, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, 2/3 cup of shortening, and 6 tablespoons of unsalted butter. So that's 2/3 cup of lard and 6 tablespoons of unsalted butter. 3/4 cup of sugar, 1 egg, 1 tablespoon of dry sherry, and 2 teaspoons of anise extract and 2 tablespoons of anise seed. Both the seed and the extract are used in there. And so you mix together the dry things and set them aside. And then on a medium speed, use the hand mixer and cream the shortening and the butter and the sugar until it's light and fluffy. I mean, this is a regular cookie recipe, but it's going to be very, very short. So it's going to be like a shortbread, but it's rolled out very, very flat. So it's going to be like a graham cracker in thickness, but the texture of shortbread. So blend all those together for about 5 minutes, and then add in the egg and the sherry and the anise extract into the shortening mixture. Then add the seed and 1/2 of the flour, beat that at low speed so it doesn't flip around the kitchen, and then beat in the remaining flour mixture until the dough pulls away from the sides of the bowl. Then divide the dough and shape it into a disc and chill it for 2 hours because that's going to hydrate the flour. And it can be frozen if you want to just go ahead and pop it in there and let it freeze. But you thaw it in the refrigerator overnight before rolling it out. Then preheat the oven to 350 and roll out the dough to the thickness of about 1/8 inch. That's a good graham cracker. And then I love the use of the of the pie roulette, you know, the one that makes the zigzag, the little rickrack. Looks like you cut it with a pair of pinking shears. And you cut those out in long, narrow triangles. So they end up being about 4 inches long and an inch and a quarter wide. And you bake them for 15 to 18 minutes, and then you have to be very careful with them because, as I say, they are short, and so which means they don't have a lot of gluten in them.
They have a lot of fat in them.
Yeah. And you can some people like to dip them into a chocolate sauce, and others like to just simply put some cinnamon and sugar on top of them and let them be such. That is a festive cookie served in the Southwest. So it seemed to be absolutely perfect for this time of Christmas, and I sort of am anxious to get to making them because I just got this recipe about 3 days ago. But I knew it was exactly what I was looking for.
Is that an old recipe, do you think? It's been
around for a while? Yeah. Bizcochitos is an old recipe. And so it's new to me. I mean, I've known the name and all, but the recipe itself is new to me. And I thought, "Oh, that is exactly the taste I like," because I remember I like those short cookies like the Greek oh dear, I hope I don't say meatball instead of what I mean. I think it's the curumbria, this cookie that is very, very short. And then there's the Russian tea cookie. And then there's the Mexican wedding cookie that are all they all mix them up in the same set of recipes. And I like that because when you eat it, it sort of explodes in your mouth. And I like that.
And do the other cookies also have that licorice thing?
No, no, they won't be licorice. See, this does has a lot of anise, both in the seed and in the extract. The others generally have clove. They like to put a clove in the top of some of them, and then they are tossed in powdered sugar. But this one, I sort of like the idea. So there's what I rode for days and nights to get back here with, so we'd have it today.
Well, that was pretty. I admire your dedication, really, coming all that way. Probably had to change horses at some point.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, Abilene.
Okay. Our guest this morning, Doyle Tex Moore. the guy we like to call our chef in residence. He's here every month on Wednesday. Wednesday of the month, 10 o'clock, we talk about food and cooking. This time around, he said, well, let's talk about holiday baking, which actually has been kind of a tradition of ours, I guess, on the program. And that I'm sure that there will be people for whom some kind of baked item really is associated with this time of the year. It's something maybe when you were growing up, your mom made or your grandma made or auntie made or somebody made. And it may indeed be one of those things that it's the only time it appears is once a year at this time. And that makes it more special because you do not have it all the time. 333-9455, toll free 800-222-9455. And let's talk with some folks here. First one's in Sydney, line one. Hello.
Good morning.
Yes.
Hello there.
I love the idea of the bizcochitos, but what I'm looking for is a recipe for the traditional pfeffernusse.
Oh, pfeffernusse.
Because the Joy of Cooking book that I have claims that that's hard and uninteresting and they don't like it, so they produced a flat cookie.
Oh, yeah.
Want the original Anna's ball that's... I don't know. You see it in the store, don't you? And I want to make my own.
Here they are, page 65. I just happened to bring a book along today. And they're on page 65, and there's 67, and there's 65. Yes, yes, peppernuts, the pfeffernusse.
Yes.
I like that very much. Well, I can give you the recipe that I have. Let me look and see if it does what you want. Pull off pieces and roll them into balls. Yes, mm-hmm. I have that recipe. Do you want me to give that right now?
You could if you like.
I will do that, and then you can call in and get a copy of it later.
Okay.
And these are especially favored at Christmas,
mm-hmm.
and they get their names from the fact that they're small enough to pop in your mouth in one bite and are pungent with spices, black pepper included.
Yes.
So that's why it's a pepper nut, a pfeffernusse. Mm-hmm. 1 cup plus 1 tablespoon of all-purpose flour, 1 teaspoon of ground cinnamon, 1/2 teaspoon of ground cardamom, and 1/4 teaspoon of ground cloves, 1/4 teaspoon of ground nutmeg, 1/4 teaspoon baking powder, 1/8 teaspoon of baking soda, 1/8 teaspoon of black pepper, and 1/8 teaspoon of salt. And those are all of the dry things: cinnamon, cardamom, cloves, nutmeg, baking powder, soda, black pepper, and salt. And you beat them until you mix them together until they're blended. Then 1/4 cup, which is 2 ounces of unsalted butter, and 1/2 cup, of sugar, and thoroughly beat in 1 large egg. So you blend the butter and the sugar in the usual manner for cookies,
mm-hmm.
until they're light and fluffy, and then you beat in 1 large egg yolk, and then stir.
Not the egg, 1 large egg yolk. Okay.
And then add, stirring until evenly incorporated, is 1/4 cup of silvered almonds, and a fourth of a cup of finely chopped candied orange peel, and a teaspoon of finely grated lemon zest. Mm. Then stir in the flour, so you haven't even got the flour into it yet, and alternate that with 3 tablespoons of dark molasses and 3 tablespoons of brandy. And after you've got all that big, that's going to be a very heavy dough,
yeah,
cover and refrigerate it for at least 8 hours and even up to several days to let the flavors blend. Uh-huh. And then pull the pieces off and roll them into 3/4-inch balls and space them 1 inch apart on the baking sheet and bake them 1 sheet at a time at 12 to 14 minutes. And that's a 350-degree oven. And then let them stand for a while and lift them from the sheet and roll them in powdered sugar. And you can have them for 3 weeks or freeze them up to 2 months. And that's it.
Sounds wonderful.
So that should be what you're looking for.
It's a huge amount.
It does make a huge amount.
What does it say in terms of?
No. Oh, 5 dozen. That's 5 dozen.
The first place I looked yesterday for cookies was in an English book. And the recipe I pulled out to do made 16 cookies.
Oh, my. Yes.
What a waste.
Yeah.
I made them anyway, and they're good. They're a ginger drop.
Oh, my.
And I had to add extra ginger to the recipe because last time I made it, I couldn't taste the ginger. So I rounded up that tablespoon.
Oh, yes.
Teaspoon.
Did you use dried ginger?
Pardon?
Did you use dried powdered ginger?
Called for powdered ginger.
Yeah.
Not fresh. And if I'd put in maybe some little tiny diced ginger bits.
Candied ginger.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get candied ginger and chop those up into little tiny chunks. That'd be awfully good, isn't it?
Yeah.
That'd do it. Well, thank you very much.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. Our guest this morning in this part of Focus 580, the man we like to call our chef in residence, Doyle Moore. For a long time, he's been stopping by here on the first Wednesday of the month at 10 o'clock, and we talk about cooking. Always have a different sort of thing that we talk about. We've talked about different cooking methods or different dishes and encourage people to call in and say, well, on this thing, do you make this and how do you do it and what makes your version special? And we've always had a good time talking about recipes and exchanging stories. And this time around, he said, well, maybe holiday baking would be a good thing. It's the right time of the year. Maybe there's something, some cookie or, something that appears in your house or when you were growing up appeared in your house. And that was the only time that you had it. Maybe you can share the recipe. 333-9455, toll free, 800-222-9455. And that the recipe that you just gave, this came out of a book that you just brought in.
Christmas cookies.
Okay. And
Joy of Cooking book, Irma Rombauer.
Okay.
Joy of Cooking, Christmas Cookies. It's a small book.
All right. Let's talk with someone in Urbana. Line 2 right here. Hello.
Gentlemen.
Yes.
A suggestion.
Yes.
Instead of the man we like to call, et cetera, why don't you, whenever Mr. Moore comes on, begin the program with the song Everybody Eats When They Come to My House by Cab Calloway, or a few bars of that. That might be a classy sort of intro, don't you think?
Well, that might be. We do need a theme song. We need a theme song for this show.
You think so?
Yeah.
We generally haven't really been that much into theme songs over the year. I think Jason Crofty's at the board this morning. He really thinks we should be playing more music on the show. But as Focus 580 is the show that dares to be dull, it's one of our mottos, we thought, no, that would be much too exciting. We don't want to get people too excited about this program.
Oh, I don't know.
All right. 333-9455, toll free, 800-222-9455. And line 3 is next in Champaign. Hello.
Good morning.
Yes.
So, okay, the first thing that comes to mind whenever we talk about Christmas baking is buñuelos in my family.
Oh, my. I don't even know what that is.
Buñuelos? You've never had
No,
them?
I have not.
Now, somebody up here, they call them – so I'm from Texas.
Yes.
That's what we call them in Texas. But buñuelos. People up here call them elephant ears.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But they're not that big.
I know what you mean now. Yes.
Yeah. So we always do that, especially –
Those are magic. Those are magic things.
Beautiful.
How do you make them?
Well, it's hard.
But I think it is because
it's a kind of a modified tortilla recipe with sugar in it, is the way I always think about it. Because that's the way, because you do the same thing. You roll them in, once you put the batter together, the mixture together, then you roll them out just like you would a tortilla.
Oh.
And then you fry it up.
Oh, and then they're fried like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. And then, but you don't want to get them too heavily, you know, because the idea is to they're light and fluffy and, you know, crispy.
Ooh. Last week, as you've heard, I've been in Wyoming. Last week we had fry bread, and it was so good. And so that begins to sound like fry bread, which it, to a certain degree, is like a sopapilla that you could then coat with something.
With something. Well, yeah. The basic recipe is just 2 cups of flour.
Yes.
A tablespoon of sugar.
Yes.
Half a teaspoon of baking powder.
BP, yes.
A dash of salt. An egg.
One egg, yes.
And half a cup of milk.
Oh, yes.
2 tablespoons of butter.
2 teas of butter, yes.
Right. And then the rest of it's for the topping is a quarter cup of sugar and a teaspoon of cinnamon.
Of cinnamon and sugar, yes.
And then you want to have either oil or shortening to fry it in.
Right.
So then you mix the flour, the sugar, the baking powder, salt. You set that aside. And then in a bowl, you beat the egg and the milk with a fork.
Okay.
And then you gradually stir in the flour, the dry mixture. And then the melted butter.
And then melted butter, yes.
Yeah, that, you melt the butter. And then you go ahead and put it out on the floured board, kneading it gently till smooth.
It is gently. You don't want to get too much gluten in that.
Right.
Right.
So just knead it gently. And then you divide it into, this recipe is for 12 servings, so it's 12 equal parts, and shape them into the little balls.
Uh-huh.
Then you let them rest for about, cover them up, rest them for about 20 minutes or so. I'm not sure why, but it's just, I still remember my mom just,
The resting part hydrates the flour with the moisture, and I've noticed that there's more attention given to that process whenever you're making a dough. Do for sure let it rest. Don't say, oh, well, this looks good enough to me. Let's just keep
on
going.
Right. So I know, so you would lay them out and then you cover it with she always had a kitchen towel on top of it. And then just lay them out. You wait about 20, I don't know, maybe half an hour at most or something. And then you roll the balls out just like with a rolling pin.
Yes.
You do roll them out like you would a tortilla for not everybody. But you roll it out, you know, nice and neat. Mine always came out like they look like a glove or a mitten.
Well, yes.
It takes a while to get the right.
I remember an old Mexican grandmother calling them animas.
Yeah.
Don't make them round. Don't make animas. No animals.
So that might take a little technique, but it's a lot of fun. It's not a hard recipe really. Then you heat the skillet, then get some. I don't know, maybe an inch or so of oil.
Yes.
You know, and oil or shortening. And then you fry each one at a time, turning once. And then, you know, make sure until it's lightly browned. You drain them. Make sure you got the paper towel
right
out so you
right
can drain them. Because, again, you want it to crisp up.
Now, do they puff up any?
They do. They do sometimes.
They do.
Just like a tortilla sometimes does.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
So same thing with them. And that's actually fun. That's the best part. As a kid, you know, you would always poke that.
Oh yes. They're very elegant. Oh, and that's a nice recipe and very traditional.
Yeah, and then you sprinkle that with the cinnamon sugar.
Cinnamon
blend.
Sugar,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, and just lightly, you know, again, you don't want it to be too heavy because then it just gets too weighted down. And now the other recipe, I don't know it. There's one that I just never picked up easily. My parents also made kolaches.
Oh, my, yes.
From Central Europe.
Yes.
At least on my mom's side of the family.
Yes.
So I buy those whenever I'm in Texas, but nowhere else. I don't find them here.
No, they're in Chicago.
They're in Chicago? Well, okay. But that's another one of the, I guess it's not so much a cookie, but kind of the pastry that we would always have around Christmas time, too. So if you have a recipe for that, I'd love to hear it or know where I might find one. That would be great.
I don't think I do. I'll look in my magic book here and see if Irma Rombauer put that into here. J-K-L-M.
It probably now, there's so many recipes online, you could spend days
that's probably
looking at online recipes for just about anything. So I'll bet you could
probably find
one.
That.
And then you could, you can compare them and find the one that just looks like it's, you know, what it is that you...
No, really David, there's only one, and it's made with cheese.
Well, yeah, it seems to me like aren't you really talking about a cheese Danish here?
No, not a cheese Danish. No.
But I love the one made with cheese.
Yeah, the cheese ones are good. Those are most traditional. But the ones that my mom's side of the family would make them with fruit, especially pineapple.
Oh my!
Raspberries, all kinds of preserves, and then. The other thing they use, of course, in the Mexican tradition are the empanadas.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and so those are, I think, probably more familiar. And then you just, so you'd use stuffing, different kinds of fruit stuffings, as opposed to, I know a lot of people just know them for meals, for like, you know, like a stuffed burrito and so on.
Oh, yeah,
Really, for the cookie type, you would always put some kind of like peach preserve or pineapples. Or, you know, kind of a pureed pineapple with some sugar in it.
I've made them with mincemeat.
Oh, okay.
Wouldn't those be good? Little ones. Nice little ones.
Okay.
Made with mincemeat. Yep.
So, see, there's all kinds of variations.
There are.
But those are all kind of the pastries that are usually typical around this time for us. So.
That's wonderful. Thank you very
sure.
much.
Sure.
All right.
Thank you. Enjoy the show. Okay. Bye-bye.
We're about at our midpoint here with this guy that we like to call our chef in residence, Doyle Moore, our monthly program on cooking. We've been doing it for a long time on the first Wednesday. And, you know, at the beginning, what we should have said, and we didn't, and I feel bad about that. The broadcast today, we'd like you to know, is made possible by the Brown Bag Deli in downtown Monticello. They offer freshly made casual lunches and dinners, homemade pies by Inge, no relation, gourmet foods, and a wacky collection of unique cards and gifts. Brown Bag Deli encourages you to join them in supporting WILL. And they've been good friends of ours for a long time, so we want to make sure we get that
Indeed.
In. Indeed. We have some other callers. We'd welcome recipes. Doyle said this time around he thought, well, maybe it might be fun to talk about holiday baking. Maybe there is something that it's part of your holiday tradition, and it's one of those things that you just have at this time of year. And probably it's one of those things that people made in their families, they had growing up, and maybe it's still a part of your holiday tradition, and you wouldn't mind sharing the recipe. You can do that by calling us 333-9455 and toll-free 800-222-9455. And let us talk with someone in Terre Haute, line number 4. Hello.
Good morning.
Yes.
Yes. A little bit off the subject, but I'd like some comments on roasting chestnuts.
By an open fire.
Yeah.
The advice that I would come up with is that take the chestnut and then put an X slit in one side so that you open up the skin and. And indeed, you could, if you had the old style of a corn popper that was a heavy screen, you could roast them in a corn popper. Other than that, you would have to put them on a pan and then kind of roll them around a little bit.
What about a Dutch oven?
A Dutch oven, yeah. That's awfully enclosed. No, that would work. You could stir them around in that, and they would get hot, but they would have a tendency to want to burn fast because the iron will collect a lot of heat and dispense it right away. But they're just simply roasted, but let them be able to breathe and let off the steam. Why you cut those slits.
Okay, well, that's him.
That's it. Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. Thank you. Let me just I want to say just also for the benefit of the last caller that just for grins here and into my browser I put kolachki and came up with quite a few recipes. So if she's in, for anybody who has internet access, she can. I came up with 477 hits, and so there probably ought to be a recipe in there that she. Would like. And I guess I remembered now that I guess when I was a kid, this was something that my mom liked and that we lived up in the Chicago area. So I'm sure there'd be bakeries where they actually would make these things. And somehow, I guess in my mind, I have that confused with the, you know, with the Danish, with the pastry that's the pastry with something could be cheese, could be some fruit, something like just in the little pocket that's kind of in the.
But they're smaller in size than a Danish.
I've been looking here at a picture, and it does look like it's something that maybe would be more about this, maybe the size of a cookie,
not a tiny cookie, but a cookie.
Yeah,
they're not a big breakfast roll.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. Let us continue here and talk with someone in Mahomet. Line one. Hello.
Hi. Mm-hmm. You can roast chestnuts by slitting them at the top with an axe. And then popping them into the microwave.
Oh, into the microwave, yes.
Yeah, for about, 30 seconds for each one of the, into the chestnuts that you have.
Yes, so about 30 seconds in the microwave.
Yeah.
Well, that's instant gratification then, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, they'd be steamed and they'd be softened that right away. 30 seconds. All right, I'm glad to know that. Thank you.
Okay.
All right, thanks. Other questions certainly are welcome. 333-9455 and toll-free, 800-222-9455. I also seem to remember when I was a kid growing up that there was a thing that was supposed to be a chestnut roaster in our house. But what I remember that it was some kind of a small, like, ceramic dish that had a lid. I thought that it was actually just like a little covered casserole. But that doesn't really sound
right to me. I'd want holes in the bottom.
That you would want, that really what you want is something that's kind of like a corn popper
or a
pan that has holes in it that you could just shake it over
a fire.
Yeah.
I like the microwave.
That does make it a little. You don't have to have a fire to do that. 333-9455 toll free 800-222-9455 and let's talk with somebody in Champaign, on line one. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Actually, I have a question. I was actually doing holiday baking this morning.
Good. I thought so. I thought that's the time.
But anyway. And the question has to do with the pepperoni.
Yes.
Many, many years ago, like a lifetime ago when I was in Germany, I remembered having it at a holiday fair, but I don't remember it being in the balls, and I don't remember it being what sounded like from the recipe being really strong. So I'm just curious as to what it tastes like, the recipe that you gave.
It would be peppery. And it would since the question came up about the recipe that she was getting, they were all flattened, not rolled, but probably flattened out by the palm of your hand, and she wanted them to be more like a little nut, the way they describe it in the book here is like a little nut that you can pop into your mouth. So they would not be hard, and they would not be tough. They would probably break up rather nicely in your mouth since you've got a whole wad of that in your mouth at once, rather than being a crunchy or a crisp cookie. Would be my guess of the difference in those
feelings. You know, if they have more of that, because I'm making some spicy molasses cookies.
Yes.
Today.
Oh boy.
It's a tradition for one of my children.
Yes.
But I'm wondering if they were similar to that in taste.
What spices do you put in your?
Just your usual like cinnamon, cloves, and ginger, but along with the molasses, which gives it a pretty heavy. No.
Yeah, it would. I don't think that they would be that. They're not quite that sweet. They wouldn't be a molasses sweet taste. They would be a peppery spicy taste. And black pepper is used in the pepperonusa, so
okay.
they would be quite spicy. Sharp, but not to the sweet spices taste. So.
Well, I thought I might try it sometime.
Well, give it a try.
I'm also making, the tradition came from my grandmother who came from Sweden.
Oh, yes.
Who always sent us big boxes of cookies
because
we lived a distance away. So now I send it to my son who lives in New York. I do the same thing but different things. But I am making a really, really nice Swedish cream wafer.
Oh, my.
Which is like melt in your mouth kind of thing. And it's a recipe that I got from my grandmother. And
yes.
I make it more than once a year, but only because they don't last very long because they are eaten up so quickly. But they basically, the wafer part is actually just butter, cream, and flour.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
You know, and then but you roll it out, make circles, and then pat them into just granulated sugar, and then kind of, you know, poke them with a fork so that when you bake them, they actually are just a very fine wafer. They fall apart easily.
Oh, so you flatten them with a fork.
Right, you flatten it
out. So there's fork patterns on the top.
Well, no, you actually just pierce it because you roll it out.
Oh, pierce. Okay.
Cut it out, but then pat it in the granulated sugar. But before you bake it, then you poke it with a fork.
Poke it with a fork.
It doesn't puff up.
Right. That's called docking, and that keeps the dough from rising.
Yeah.
Or puffing up.
Very, very flaky.
That sounds good.
Yeah. The innards is just basically, again, more sugar, butter, and cream.
Sugar, butter, and cream. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. I mean, it's really, they're very light, and they just literally melt in your mouth. So good. But I usually do them this time of year. But.
Well, that's what I was thinking about. There are things that we only do kind of around now, and most of them are for memory. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, well, thank you. I enjoyed the show.
All right. Very good. Thank you for calling. We have, I don't know, maybe about 15 minutes left in this part of Focus 580. It's our monthly show on cooking. Doyle Moore is here. He joins us once a month on the first Wednesday, and we talk about food and always have a good time. And questions are welcome. Recipes certainly are welcome. 333-9455, toll free, 800-222-9455. Well, you said at the beginning when you stepped in that you had two things, and we talked about the biscochitos, and also you have another one that's is it a fruit cake?
It's a Tennessee whiskey cake.
Okay,
it is not so much of a fruit cake, but it's Tennessee whiskey, and this really attracted me. I enjoyed it. I'll just give you the recipe right here: a half a cup, which is one stick of butter at room temperature, and a half a cup of packed brown sugar, one half a cup of granulated sugar. In myself, I would cut down some of that sugar. Three eggs and one cup of all-purpose flour, one half a teaspoon of baking powder, a teaspoon of salt, half teaspoon of cinnamon, 1/4 teaspoon baking soda, and 1/4 of a cup of fat-reduced milk, and 1/2 a cup of sorghum or molasses, and 1/4 of a cup of Jack Daniels. So that's the stuff that goes in it. Beat the butter using the mixer and add the sugars and beat until they're creamy. I mean, this is the usual way of doing a dough like this. Then you add the eggs one at a time, beating them and scraping down the sides of the bowl. Then you get all your dry parts together, the flour, baking powder, salt, cinnamon, and baking soda, and add that alternately with the milk, beginning and ending with the dry ingredients. Then stop the mixer and add the sorghum. You've got this dough, and you add the sorghum molasses. Restart the mixture and slowly add the whiskey and mix until smooth. The batter will be thin. So it's not a big heavy sort of cake. It's going to be thin. Pour it into a greased 9-inch spring form. That's the one where you can take the sides off of the cake pan after it's cooked, a spring form pan, and bake for 40 minutes until a wooden pick put in the center, and then serve it warm with sorghum frozen yogurt, which is another part of the recipe, which is simply yogurt, brown sugar, sorghum, and vanilla, and you put them in ice cream maker, and you put the so you're going to get some yogurt and brown sugar and more sorghum. So it's a very very sweet or not a very very, very sweet, but it's. Sorghum is such a taste that you
now I was going to ask you, but is sorghum, is it really different from molasses?
Yes. One is more refined than the other, I think, is the major difference. Molasses is the refined one, and sorghum molasses is a little rawer and tastes a little more earthy. As I recall, sorghum molasses. It's made from sorghum cane, and it was the major sweetener in American cooking for many years until because refined sugar is fairly recent, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And honey was used a lot, but sorghum cane sorghum. Kind you get a mule out there and squash the cane. Have you ever seen the cane mill, where the mule is dragging this great big stone around on top, and the folks are tossing in the cane, sorghum cane, and so you get the juice from that and you cook it down.
Hmm. And then you can make rum. Or do you not make rum out of,
yeah.
of that? I mean, I guess that's what I thought. Rum was made out of molasses, or those two things were.
Yeah, it is.
That was the feedstock for making rum.
Sounds like it to me.
333-9455, toll free, 800-222-9455. And if you have a recipe to share with us, something for a holiday, maybe a holiday sweet, something that you just have at this time of the year. We'd be happy to have it. And I do want to mention here, I'm looking at our website. We did the fruitcakes last year. And that these recipes are here if you go to our website, which is Will, so that's W-I-L-L, will.illinois.edu. Go to AM and go to the Focus 580 section and then look at recipes. There are some recipes here from when we were talking about fruitcake last year, including the best white fruitcake on earth, which Doyle mentioned. And also here, there's the recipe for the one that I liked, which is a recipe that comes from Alton Brown from the TV Food Network, a recipe that I really like. And actually, I kind of think of it really as a quick bread with lots of good dried fruit, because I think it's really good. Just
he likes dried.
You don't have to mess around.
Yeah, he likes dried fruit in his fruit cake.
And it comes out, you know, and he eschews those those red and green things.
Oh yes. Well,
and he says just use really good dried fruit, and it has a big mixture of dried fruit, and it's got some. It's cooked in. It's steeped in rum, and it's got a bunch of butter in there and sugar, and it's really good. And myself, when I have made it, I do brush maybe for a couple of days. I do like to brush a little cognac on there, but I don't go through this big business of, you know, that process going on forever. It's too good. You just want to eat it right away. And it's very good just right out of the
Actually,
oven.
You
it's
do want good. To eat it right away, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah. It's too good. It's too good. So well, if you're interested, you can check our website, and there's that. That recipe's there, and some others, white fruitcake with raisins, and no-bake graham cracker fruitcake, and fruitcake without eggs, and Jamaican black cake.
Oh, I was going to bring the Jamaican black cake recipe today, but I didn't find it fast enough. That is a wow, the black cake.
And that's here, too. So, and that looks like it's got a mixture of dried fruits, and it does have some rum in it, and brown sugar, and flour, nutmeg, and cinnamon, and butter, and some eggs, so it looks like it's in that family.
It's in the family of dark fruit cake, y'all.
Okay. Questions, welcome. Recipes, welcome. 333-9455. Toll free, 800-222-9455. Maybe we'll be here for about another 5 minutes. So if you're thinking about calling in, do
well, do. But while I'm waiting for you to call in, I'm going to give you something that some people cannot get through Christmas without. Bourbon balls.
Mm-hmm.
2 tablespoons of unsweetened cocoa, 1 cup of powdered sugar, and you whisk those together. Then you get 1/4 of a cup of bourbon whiskey and 2 tablespoons of light corn syrup, and stir into the cocoa mixture. So then you crush up in a food processor or a rolling pin in a plastic bag about 2.5 cups of crushed vanilla wafers, and you put the wafer. You can do that, and then one cup of coarsely chopped pecans. So stir the vanilla wafers and the pecans into the cocoa mixture, then roll the mixture into balls, and they don't have to be even, and then roll them in powdered sugar and store them away for about 2 weeks. Mm. If you can wait that long. I mean, every time someone makes bourbon balls, it is a treat. It is a treat. That's it. It is as simple as that.
Okay. Let me mention one other thing, too, here, because I was looking at some of the recipes we have here, and I went back to December of 2007 on the website here, and there are actually a couple of cookie recipes there, but there are also a couple of recipes there for, I don't know if you would call them savory cookies, things that you, because I think we were saying, well, you know, maybe somebody was doing some holiday entertaining and you're going to have people over, and you were really doing the festive thing, and you were going to have wine or you were going to have champagne. And the idea was a little sort of a nibbly thing that would complement that so that it wouldn't necessarily be sweet. And we have a couple here that you gave. This one was for Parmesan, basil, and lemon wafers.
Oh, yes. That is really good.
That's a Giada di Laurentiis recipe.
Yes.
And then there also was another thing that was made with phyllo dough. And it looked like it has a little bit of you take the phyllo dough, and you put in a little bit of cream cheese and a walnut half and put some honey over it, and then you fold it up into a little packet.
Oh, yeah.
And then you bake that, and that's also a nice – so that's also a kind of a more savory sort of thing that you would have as a little something if people were coming over.
Well, on this trip,
champagne.
Sister made one that was with goat cheese and Parmesan cheese. Let me think what was in it. Goat cheese, Parmesan cheese, cream cheese, and black pepper, and only a tablespoon of flour, and then that was balled up and basil, of all things. No, pesto. I'm sorry, pesto.
Mm-hmm.
Pesto that was already made, and then chopped up fresh green basil. She took the last of the basil that hadn't quite yet frozen, and then you roll that into a little log, and then chill it, and cut that, and then cook those out. Ooh, were they good? It was just another craziness. You know, we're always cooking at home whenever I go there, and that was another thing we just did this last week.
Well, that's the place, that's the place you want to be, provided your kitchen's big enough. That's the place you really want to be in hanging out in the kitchen. At my folks, they have one of these floor plans where the kitchen and there's sort of a sitting area that's just pretty much open, you know. But where is everybody? They're all right there. They have an island stove and a little place there where they have some stools. And, you know,
no matter where I serve my
guests,
they
always
around, like the kitchen
yes,
best.
Yes, we're all hanging around the stove area. So, that's the place that you want to be. That's a good thing. I think that's okay maybe that's not, you know, so odd that the hearth would be the – whatever seems to be the hearth now, that, you know, that's the place where people want to be.
Well, my thought about today and doing the baking is that this is one way that you extend yourself into other people's existence. You know, you're doing something for someone else. I mean, you're not just going to sit down and make Christmas cookies for yourself.
Yeah.
It's something that you're, yeah. And so there's an excitement. There's an excitement of when you're in anticipation of sort of doing something nice for somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think what's also makes these some of the things we've talked about special is, as we've said, is that you don't have that every day.
No,
it's what you're a lot of these things. There's it's only one time that you have that. You know, so that I think contributes to the whole atmosphere, that there are things that we do, whatever it is, that things we do, we're only doing it at this time.
Yeah, at
there's
this
all
time,
these really
that's it.
Special things. And you want that, you know, there's these things that all, for it to really be right, you want them to all kind of come together. And some just, you know, little thing like this is really part of it.
Well, yeah. Get out the bourbon and make the Tennessee whiskey cake.
All right. Well, we're coming down to the end here, and I wanted to toss in the little hors d'oeuvre items because the next time we're here, it'll be already past New Year's. So at that point, it will be, how do we get through the winter? We will have had the two big festivals, and people will have done their partying, I guess, unless the next thing is
Epiphany.
Oh, I was thinking of the Super Bowl, but where you take
what's the difference?
Where you take dip and you make it into the shape of a football.
Oh,
you know?
Oh yes, oh, that doesn't happen around my house.
No, that doesn't. No,
I no, nope, that doesn't happen.
Oh, okay.
I
thought for sure that you'd have a liverwurst in the shape of a football or something.
I like the idea.
All right.
Now that you mention it.
Well, at that, I guess we'll say that we're done for this time around. We have a lot of recipes. We're a little behind, but we do have a lot of recipes. And there are these two December collections that are there on our website. And I think there's some pretty good recipes there. You might want to take a look at them. Go to our website, which is will.illinois.edu. And they are there, and you can pull them right off for yourself. Doyle Moore will be back again first Wednesday of
January, as far as I know.
We'll do it then. He's been with us for a long time on the first Wednesday of the month, and we talk about food and cooking, and we always have fun. Hey, thanks very much.
Yes, you betcha.